Okay, we're back, and we were just talking with Pastor Alamo the last hour. We're going to continue on, and we left off with the importance of sending out, to getting to the streets and talking to people about this message, because as we discussed, Pastor Alamo's on many radio stations, and it's effective. But what's more effective is actually meeting people and getting on the streets, and you've done that over the 40 years of your ministry, hundreds of thousands of brochures and things. Pastor, what do you see now in this short segment? We're trying to get John on the line, and he's supposed to call in too, so once we do, we'll talk with him also. But what do you see different now? I mean, anything from the time you started your ministry, what is the climate you see in this country? How have we in a sense, either progressed or deteriorated in the time you've been ministering?
Well, we progressed because, when I first got saved, there wasn't, even in Hollywood, they weren't, or all over Los Angeles, they weren't putting up Christmas lights or anything like that. Not that that's a big criteria, but it goes to show that people now are believing in Jesus. And you see a lot of them that are professing to believe in Jesus. Even the president professes to be that, although he's built many memorials in Washington, D.C., to the Vatican. Now, the Vatican is actually our most, and everybody's most dangerous enemy. But you're talking Antichrist. You're either with Christ or the Antichrist. But what we're seeing today is there are a lot of people, but they're believing the wrong way. And the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that there'd be a great falling away, which means the falling away of the church, and that that the devil, this Antichrist spirit, would enter into the temple of God. Well, what is the temple of God? The temple of God is us. The Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of God? And they would say that they, that Satan is now God. So you've got a bunch of people, when they hear the real truth, they don't study the Bible enough. They listen to these false teachers and preachers to where they really think that, you know, if we're preaching that God destroyed the earth with water and he's going to destroy it with fire and that he's not coming back until after the tribulations, they say that, you know, my ministry doesn't have enough love. But love is the keeping of God's commandments. And what kind of love would it be to misdirect people from hearing the truth? When you know the truth, and the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God, when you know the truth will set you free. Not a false doctrine that says God is all love. God is not Alfred E. Newman. He happens to be the almighty, holy, eternal God. And so that's the problem today. It looks like the whole world has gone Christian. And the people that are with some of these big organizations, they're Catholics. And the news media says, well, the Christian realm, you know, they're the ones that put Bush into office. No, it wasn't the Christian realm. It was Catholics. A lot of Jews, I'm Jewish, and we thought over in Germany and in Czechoslovakia that they were Christians that were slaughtering these Jews over there, putting them in ovens and gassing them. The Jew didn't know any better. They thought they're calling themselves Christians, but they're Catholics.
Okay, Pastor Alamo, just hold that. We're going to come back. We do have John Peeler on the line, so we're going to spend the next segment with John. In our last half hour, we're going to get back to exactly what you were talking about and really pin the New World Order tail right on the Vatican. So we'll be back right after this short message. Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and my guest is Pastor Tony Alamo. And in the first hour, Pastor Alamo had briefly mentioned how he has been persecuted and basically threatened and even jailed for 4 years for trying to spread the gospel. This all started 40 years ago after he left his record business. And there's a page on his website called False Accusers Against Pastor Tony Alamo, and you should go to it if you go to www. www.alamoministries.com, and you'll read about many of the Superior Court of California case dismissed, the truth about Tony Alamo, subversive LA DA against Alamo, Pastor Alamo railroaded to prison, Prosecutor Chris Belcher hides books that would have proven Tony Alamo innocent. It goes on and on over the years, and Pastor Alamo stayed strong and is still preaching the Word of God from his many ministries around the country. We have with us John Peeler. He's been on my show before. He's a former FBI agent who was assigned the task to first assassinate Tony Alamo, and then basically he left the FBI after this assignment. Of course, he didn't do it. He refused. He found nothing against Mr. Alamo. In fact, he has told me many times that he was as crystal clear as could be, and they had to go against him in the IRS, which he spent 4 years in jail. John Peeler has since apologized to Tony. And, John, how are you today?
God bless you and Pastor Alamo, and I appreciate you both and your what you're trying to do and so forth, and your listeners, and I hope they're all blessed by listening to you. You know, I've tried to get right with God and man because I never know when they're going to take me out, too, because of what I say and do. Since I've been on your show, I've got to go down to the FBI office and take 3 polygraph tests about the information that I put out and so forth because, you know, it's against the law to lie to a federal agency. So they had
John, I just want to, Pastor Alamo's there. Pastor, do you want to say hello to John Peeler? I know you've become friends since this has happened.
Hi, John.
Hey.
Happy Purim. You're in good shape.
Hey. I hope you had a happy Purim. You know, like it says in the Feast of Esther, who knows if we were chosen for such a time as this, brother.
And yeah, especially characters like you and I, huh?
Yes, sir. But the deal is, you know, Pastor Alamo was so squeaky clean, and I couldn't find anything wrong with him. I mean, most of these other people, the Violent Crime Task Force, the FBI, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, they sent me on. They were members of the Bader-Meinhof, the KKK, different kind of organizations and so forth that were terrorist-oriented or wanted to overthrow the United States government or whatever. And Pastor Alamo, I mean, he was so squeaky clean, and his people that called himself his friends and so forth that were trying to help him out with his, he had all kind of businesses, stores, restaurants, gas stations, where he was trying to help out the less fortunate people and so forth. And I met these people, tried to sell them drugs, tried to give them van loads of machine guns, tried to do all these kind of dirty deals with them. None of them were interested. None of them would talk bad about Pastor Alamo or say anything bad about him. So, I mean, he's the only case I ever worked on that I couldn't find one person that said one thing bad about him. All these federal agents are telling me how bad he is and that he's so bad and so dangerous that if I can't get his followers and get him framed and sent to federal prison and so forth, I'm going to have to go out and figure out some way to kill him and try to make it look like an accident or so forth. And I'm saying, you know, I've never killed a minute. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but like I told them, I've never killed a minister and don't want to start with him because, I mean, I can't find anything wrong with this guy. You know, it reminded me too much of Yeshua, you know, Jesus Christ. They kept trying to find things wrong with him and couldn't, so they tried to set him up and so forth. And he was so squeaky clean, I couldn't find anybody that was nearly as squeaky clean as he was. And they kept telling me to do something to him, and I couldn't do anything to him. So finally I met with some guys that were with the Internal Revenue Office. I mean, you know, they got Alfonso Capone, Al Capone, finally on a tax evasion. So like I told the guys with the feds, I said, the only way you're ever going to get this guy is you're going to have to totally railroad him using the internal, you know, the IRS agents, a lot of them don't even understand their own rules, known laws, known directives they make. So I said, you're going to have to get some of these guys that get it so complicated that no one can figure it out. It's the only way you're going to be able to ever railroad this man.
Now, Pastor Alamo did spend 4 years in jail for IRS charges. Pastor, what was it like when this was going on in your life? John's telling us about what they were trying to do to you. He was involved with them. What were you going through back then?
Well, they've accused me of everything but killing Bambi's mother, you know? And you just can't believe they'd be talking about you, and you sound, well, the way they're saying it, it just sounds like they're talking about somebody else because the things that they were saying is not true. And my wife, it made her sick, you know. I mean, she passed away in 82, April 8th, 1982, my late wife. And it just, when I find the things out that they're doing, what I did is put out pieces of literature. Like with Mr. Feeler here, I put out a piece of literature. I see that you're doing a phenomenal job yourself, Greg. I mean, to reveal these things. I wrote a piece of literature called The Evil One World Government Agents Are Claiming to Be United States Agents. And like Mr. Peely says, a lot of them don't even know what they're doing. I mean, they're just taking orders from above, and they don't realize that we're all living under Roman canon law right now. I mean, this is not the United States of America government. There's no freedom of religion. I mean, if you're preaching the gospel, and you're preaching that homosexuals are going to go to hell and that you're not supposed to murder. The Bible said, the original text says, thou shalt not murder, not kill. And so they're murdering little children and all these things. So if you start preaching that, boy, they're going to come after you. So right. I wrote that piece of literature after Mr. Peeler told me the whole story. He talked to one of our boys, Don Sweat, and he taped him, and I asked him if it was all right if I put it out, and so I did. And
if I could ask John a question, now these orders he told me once came right down from Clinton, didn't they?
That is correct. That's what I can't swear to that, but that's what I was told. I was told that William Jefferson Bly, his real name, also known as William Jefferson Clinton, and I would like to ask Mr. Alamo and you both something. I went to the Clinton Library the other day, and my wife pointed out, one time I was a FOB, a friend of Bill. I'm not now, obviously, but the deal now that I've got right with God and see the light, but thanks to Pastor Tony Alamo and other people and God's grace, but I was at the library. I run into a lot of people that I used to campaign with and work with and all kind of people that were still friends of Bill Clinton and so forth. It's well-armed and well-guarded, by the way, too, and he's got a townhouse up on the top he can stay in. But anyway, when I was up on the top floor, the third level of the area, I was noticing all the things that the different Muslim governments and Muslim people, like Bahrain, gave him a huge silver horse with a gold saddle on it. That's a statue that's in his glass case up there. And then right above that, you know, I've been told by different people, and both of you are better Bible scholars than myself, especially Pastor Alamo, I know for a fact. But anyway, I saw they had a large photographic picture of Bill Clinton, and they said when the Antichrist comes, that's going to try to, you know, get the whole world combined and so forth, he's going to be wearing a blue turban, a light blue turban. Light blue in ancient times was a thing for humility and so forth. I mean, you know, Solomon the Magnificent, they said, wore a blue turban type hat thing. So anyway, I'm up here visiting the Clinton Library, and my wife is not, never was a FOB, so she's not even liking this, but she points out this picture and said, look, there's your old buddy wearing a blue turban. And I said, huh? And I looked at it, and sure enough, right there in the middle of the glass case, they got Bill Clinton with a light blue prayer jacket, a light blue turban on. And what bothers me is if you go to the Vatican Museum website and get Emperor Nero Caesar, which some Bible scholar says was the Antichrist, that was an Antichrist-type person, it was against God and persecuted a lot of good Christian people in the old days. If you get his bus and then get a bus from in front of the Arkansas State Governor's Mansion and overlay them on each other and look at the photographs, they're an exact match. And years ago when I talked to William Jefferson Bly, also known as William Jefferson Clinton, some of my Jewish friends told me that converse to 666, William Jefferson Bly, was one reason he changed his name. But anyway, besides all this, he told me many years ago, before he was even governor, he told me he's going to be governor, then he's going to be president, his wife's two terms, his wife's going to be senator, then she's going to be president, and then he's going to be Secretary General of the United Nations. I knew him. I knew his whole family. I knew Roger Cassidy Clinton, Butch Cassidy Clinton, the last guy that he gave a pardon to right before he got out, who was a strange fellow indeed, but he was more honest than Bill ever thought about being. Bill is so dishonest and so strange, you never know whether he's going to, you know, give you money, give you a position, or have you killed.
And I know, Pastor Alamo, we got a minute here before this break, you were at odds with Bill Clinton also, really, because you had a ministry in Arkansas too, correct?
Correct. We had dinner, and we talked on many occasions. I did with Bill Clinton because I didn't know. This is when he was governor, what kind of a person he is. I had Dolly Parton over at my restaurant, and he wanted to know if I'd introduce him to her. And I said, I'll go ask her. And so she said, yeah, and so I took him back to her dressing room. And he wrote it up in his new book about me introducing him to Dolly Parton. So, he offered me everything back then because he knew that I had a lot of followers and he was looking to get votes. Sam Sexton, who was one of his advisors, and he was one of my attorneys who went to our church, said that this man, just what John Peeler said, he'll treat you good today and he'll cut you down tomorrow.
All right, let's leave it right there. We'll come back with John Peeler and Tony Alamo right after this short message. Excuse me, on the Investigative Journal. What an interesting and sad, but yet a story that has an ending that is very interesting. And we're talking with ex-FBI agent John Peeler. Our main guest is Pastor Tony Alamo. John stopped in with us for this half hour. And it's proof positive how the FBI and the government led by Clinton had tried to bring down Pastor Alamo in many, many ways. He did spend 4 years in jail on a bogus IRS charge. That's all they could ever get on him, and that wasn't even true. But he did spend 4 years in jail, but he spread the word of God even while in federal prison. That's an interesting story in itself. John Peeler then left the FBI right after this case. It was the straw that broke the camel's back for John. He since apologized to Pastor Alamo, and Pastor Alamo has accepted the apology. But if there's any FBI agents listening, if there's any priests or nuns or anyone that's listening, get it to them. Get these shows to these people, because we want more people to come out and tell the truth like John Peeler. He has since talked on my show many times about other things he was involved with, Oklahoma City, Waco, other setups. And but for that, he's paid the price. They tried to frame him for murder, which didn't hold, but they have framed his son, who was in the military, and his son is spending a life sentence for a crime, a murder he didn't commit, because John went forward. Pastor Alamo, I know you are trying to help John's son and saying prayers for him every day, but this is an interesting aspect of this story, how they really have come down on John's family. Go ahead, Pastor.
Right. Not only that, but we've contacted my attorney in New York. His name is Eric Lieberman. He is fantastic. We found him to be a fantastic attorney. I mean, attorneys, as they go, are not that hot. But this man had won several cases for us in the Fort Smith, Alma, Arkansas area. And I've hired him to do whatever he can to get John Peeler's son out of prison. Because, you know, we're not supposed to just pray, but it's like the Good Samaritan. You're supposed to do something, you know, nurse the wounds, take the person to the inn. If they're in prison, you got to visit them or try to get them out, because I was in there on false charges, and I know how his son must feel, and I know how his dad, his heart is aching to see his son free. Just because he wouldn't murder for them, they put him in. And it's just such a sick... the Vatican is so sick. You know, of course, this is Satan's regime. Antichrist is a corporate body of hundreds of millions of people. John, the Apostle John, stated that even Antichrist was back then. One body of millions, maybe even billions, people that have accepted the Antichrist doctrine. And the same thing with Jesus. Now, Jesus has a corporate body. It's just not one man. It's like all of us together that are born again.
And if I might just break in here and get a final few words from John Peeler. John, you've apologized to Pastor Alamo. Your son's now in prison for life.
Right.
because of you coming forward with many FBI stories of deceit, of FBI killing, things like that, orders coming down from higher ups to get rid of people in Waco, rid of people in Ruby Ridge, Oklahoma City bombing. It goes on and on and on. We're in that period of extended violence in our country. John, any last words to the people about Pastor Alamo, to my listeners, and yourself, and what how you're feeling? Got about 2 minutes.
Well, the New World Order, you know, I got an award from them. I didn't even know I worked for them, from the United Nations. But the New World Order is heavy against Pastor Alamo, so he must be doing a lot of things that are right. And like I said, they wanted to kill, if they couldn't get him, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stop his ministry and stop him from putting out his literature and so forth. So I started reading it ever since then. But they tried to frame me for killing this guy that's a missing person. They tried to get me, frame me for killing Kathy Ferguson, who used to be a friend of Clinton. But finally, they decided to say she committed suicide. Danny Ferguson's estranged wife, and Danny Ferguson forgot everything he knew about Clinton and all the dirty deals he did for him. But God bless Pastor Alamo, and I appreciate what he's trying to do for my son, and I appreciate that he had, you know, forgave me for what my involvement against him and so forth, and I appreciate your program. The stress has been so bad on me. This Friday, I'm going to go on vacation for 2 weeks, and when I get back, I'm going to hit it hard, trying to start protesting and trying to get my son, John Christopher Peeler, 107832, EARU, Post Office Box 180, Brickey, Arkansas, 72302. He's been down 11 years doing life without for murder, no body, no weapon, no blood, no forensics, no anything. God bless Pastor Alamo and his ministry and you and your show and your listeners. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
And you know, John, and when you come back, contact me and we'll have you on again. And I want to spread the word about your son and to really try to echo what Pastor Alamo said. Let's do something to help you get your son out of prison for a crime he didn't commit. That's a long sentence, a life sentence, and Pastor Alamo knows what it's like to be in prison. So let's do that when you get back. Okay, John?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, John. Pastor, go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have a word before our break?
Oh, yeah, I just say I really did echo the same thing John said. I really appreciate your program and appreciate you, Greg. You're doing a fantastic job, and God bless both of you, you and John.
Okay, now, John, we'll talk to you again. Have a good vacation. Pastor Alamo, you stay right there. We got 1.5 hour to go. Back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
I think it's time to stop, children. Watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down.
Okay, we're back for our final half hour with Pastor Tony Alamo. And I did want to mention this, one program note. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. That's the website, call letters now, and you can listen live. Also, the archives are up to date again after that turmoil up until January 25th, and you can listen up until then for all the archives. Now, the new ones between January 25th and now will be up in about 2 days, so that will be taken care of. In the meantime, if you want to listen to this show an hour afterwards, tonight, anytime, go to my website at www.arcticbeacon.com. That's ARCTICBEACON.com. And you can go down to a box that says Important Notice, scroll down my website, and then click on Audio Archives here. And you can get all these shows because we're archiving all the shows in the interim to make sure that messages like Tony Alamo are not lost. And I do want to mention that the Arctic Beacon has been a website on the net for a long time, spreading. I'm a former journalist, so I guess I still am a journalist, a former mainstream journalist. I used to work in the mainstream media. I spent 6 years in Italy working as a reporter there and also doing radio and other things. And I learned about the Vatican back then, learned how stories can be hidden through UPIAP, who'd never pass on the stories to America, and then never figured, though it was as bad as what it was. When I came back to America, ended up getting a law degree, which I never practiced, because I decided to start to spread the truth. And I'm going to get into that in a minute with Pastor Alamo. But I do want to mention, the Arctic Beacon has been around a long time. You're going to get stories on there going way back. But I want to mention this. I'm going to have a new Arctic Beacon. My website's going to be changed a little bit, and what I'm going to be doing is a little bit more. You're going to get a little bit more than what you just get on the Arctic Beacon. So you're going to see a little different design. You're going to see a little different look. The same truth-telling about the Vatican will never end, because I fear God more than I fear those criminals. But there's going to be a little bit more for you to see, and I really hope you go to my website and support my efforts. I'm running a pledge drive, as usual, to keep going every month. It's a struggle, but we somehow make it. We somehow do it, and we're going to continue. As long as I got a breath in my body here to do this, we're going to do it. And Pastor Alamo, let's get back to you. Your message is so vital, so important. And you've been crucified by these people. But let's get down to how the Vatican is involved in this. When I started covering this story in depth in America, I saw so many of my outlets dry up. I, in fact, was contacted even by a New World Order person who told me, Greg, why don't you just go back to entertainment? You're never going to make it this way. And I said, you know, I can't. I want to try to find out the truth between this religious, political downfall of America and the world. And unfortunately, I don't care if they wear a black robe or a white pontiff's hat, or if they're in the House of Representatives or they're in the FBI. I just want to find out who they are. And I think the victims of 9/11 and their family members feel the same way. But do you understand what I'm getting at, how they try to dry this message up and keep it in a certain certain corner so that many people never hear it?
Right. What it is, every time the Vatican is using us as their muscle to... what the United States should do is pull out of the United Nations, because they're using us. The UN is nothing without our military force. And they're using us, in other words, they needed another Pearl Harbor. I wrote a piece of literature called Another Pearl Harbor. Before they can't get the American people to go to war until some catastrophe happens. So what they did is they fabricate a story that whatever nation it is that they want to take over, that they did the heinous crime. And so, you know, they wanted to take over Iraq and Iran, and these people are so dyed-in-the-wool religious, they're the wrong religion, Muslims, and Muslims are just a branch of the Vatican. These are things that Alberto told me, and I found out that it's absolutely the truth. When you're talking to a Muslim, you're talking to a Catholic, but they feel that they're so powerful now that they don't have. So every time they want to take over a country, what they do is they say it was the Muslims in Iraq that did it. So immediately they call our military power to go over and bomb them, and then go in and spend billions or even trillions of dollars to rebuild the country once they have accepted Roman canon law, which is democracy. Democracy is nothing more than dictatorship. Democracy started at the Vatican, and that is a poisonous thing, because it exalts mob rule. In other words, the people. The best thing other than that is, and the only thing that we should be ruled by is the Word of God. But of course, it's gone too far. Unless people really repent. So even the John Birch Society, which was a branch of the Vatican, is putting up big signs saying, let's pull out of the Vatican. Even the country of Germany was going down the tubes real fast when they were with the Vatican, because they were using their military might. They were using, robbing them of everything they had. And that's what they've done to us. Our industry is gone and everything else. And so the best thing that the United States could do would be to pull out of the UN, because, and be a sovereign country. You know, we, the people of the United States of America, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. When people start this democracy, as I said, even the History Channel stated that democracy started with the Vatican. And it's just their theory of how the world can be controlled by the Vatican. Now, any time that people will not succumb to it, then they call the United States troops, and we become the goons for the Vatican. They're using our manpower to take over these countries for the Vatican. And George Bush is a Catholic. He said, I'll do anything that the Pope says. It's several different statements that I have. I don't have them handy with me right now. But there are books with his statements, and there's printed in newspapers, many different Catholic newspapers, that he is 100%. The Bible says that the Vatican is responsible for every evil thing that's happening on earth. And for people to stay with it, that means that they're willingly being a part of the Antichrist. And there's no, that's the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness for that in this world or in the world to come. So if I were a person hearing all these things, the hundreds of thousands of defectors from the Vatican and the Roman Catholic cult, if I were a person, I would get out of there as fast as I could. The Bible says, come out of here if you're my people. Come out of there, my people.
And I will be able to attest to being one of them. I grew up a Catholic, went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, and when I lived in Rome and found out about what they were really doing, I got out immediately and just said to myself and to my maker, that's it. I tried to give it the benefit of the doubt in the beginning because I couldn't accept it. My belief system just was shocked. But when I finally realized it, I knew that I felt better. And now what I see in this country, I just can't believe. I just get so angry at how they twist everything and hurt people and just keep the message away. That sometimes I just say to myself, what will we do next? How can we defeat these people? And I'm going to ask for your advice on that question.
Well, the way that we defeat them is people have to believe God rather than the anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christians. And if they don't do that, we'll just pray that God will put down his hand, because God destroyed the entire Egyptian army, and he's quite capable to destroy the Vatican. As a matter of fact, the Bible states that he's going to put it in the hearts of some of those European people over there to burn the Vatican and to destroy it completely. So, but we just have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the compounded Spirit of God, living in us, to be able to cause us to be able to go through all the persecution, the degradation that's going to be false, and to be able to make it through the tribulation period. So those tribulation periods already started, the beginning of those. So just stay close to the Lord, and you'll be saved if you continue on a daily basis, denying the temptations of this world, so that you can have a victory over death, hell, the grave, sin, Satan, and the world. We have to just live before the Lord, and that way we'll be able to, his Spirit will influence us to be perfect. These false prophets are saying that you can't be perfect. Nobody's perfect. The Bible, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, states that we are perfect if we're in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to those that live not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if there's no condemnation, then you're perfect in the eyes of God. If you're walking in the Holy Spirit, and this is a compounded Spirit, this is a multi-spirit mentioned, as I said, in the Revelation's first chapter, the 5th chapter, and elsewhere, and in the book of Isaiah. So with that power in us, let's face it, God's power, the Spirit, is holding up the entire world, and if that same Spirit is living in us, then it can hold us up through a fire, flood, you know, no matter what comes against us. I've been persecuted very strongly down through the years, and my wife, we've been degraded. We've been put in jail many times, and then finally prison for 4 years, then a half year in a halfway house, taken away from my family and my newborn son. And but I never felt sorry for myself. I just knew that the Lord said that these things were happening, and so I prepared my heart for sorrow. People, don't give up. That's the thing I say, is don't give up. Just live close to the Lord, and you'll have joy and peace and happiness through everything that you go through if you just trust God.
Because are they still after you right now? I mean, are you still going through hassles, or is it subsiding?
Oh, no, absolutely. There's much persecution going on right now as it was. There's a whole town. They've been putting on the Internet all kinds of degradation about us, just like they are with the Lord, saying that he was married and that he had a child and all this stuff, and that his bones are in a coffin. That he was having sexual relations. I don't even like to mention this, all these different movies and trash that they're putting out on him is degrading. And so the reason that it's done is because they want people to not believe the Bible, or to believe those of us that are preaching the Bible.
So, Pastor, let's go to the phones. I got a couple of people that from Texas been holding on a long time. And I want to mention 800-313-9443. We'll try to squeeze in a couple phone calls. In our policy here, we never screen calls. We never know what's coming. But all I ask is that people be respective of the people on the radio, even if you have different views. Rick in Texas, how are you?
Doing wonderful, Greg. Thank you very much for your program. This is very interesting. And Pastor Alamo, thank you very much also. I've pulled down an article from your website that I've had for a couple of years here, and I wondered if you would respond to it. It starts out, if Rome's one-world government, which includes the United States of America, can murder you before you reach age of 65 by lacing your tobacco, food, and water with cyanide gas and radioactive nuclear waste, they will save trillions of dollars per year. And I wondered if you would expound on the part in here where it says that there was a fellow that worked with IG Farben back in the 40s, and he was one of the developers of this cyanide Zyklon B gas. And I can't pronounce his name. His name is Carol. And I wondered if you'd pronounce his last name for us and respond elaborate on who he was.
It's easier for me to pronounce the name when we call him John Paul II.
Exactly.
Okay.
Wojtyla.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, you know, people said, how do you get to get people to trust God? And I always say that, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And sometimes you just have to hit people with shock value. And I don't know how many times I've told people that the salesman that sold the Zyklon B gas to Adolf Hitler was Carol Wojtyla, better known as John Paul II. And, of course, their mouth drops open, and then they want to look at me like I'm some kind of a wild man. But I've shared this article with quite a few people, and you've done a very good job of documenting that evidence in here. And that's one of the ways I think that we can wake a lot of people up. People have got to be awakened as to the magnitude of evil that we're up against here.
Right. The Lord told me that the way that you can beat them is, he says, expose them. He said, I'm going to give
Amen.
You the ability to write, and if you put the things out that I give you to write, you will not be destroyed. But if you don't, you will be destroyed. So I later thought about it, and I thought, yes, that's true. Like if there's a person robbing a store, and the sirens go off, and the lights go on, and here comes the siren of the police, the thief is going to run. And that's the same thing with these evil people, the one world government that are posing as United States agents. You blow, take the lid off of them so that people can see that it's a worms. They flee from you. So that's why I believe that I've stayed alive this long, because the Lord said I would. And that's just, I agree with Greg. I'm more fearful of God than I am the entire one world government, the Antichrist, because they don't have any power over us if we do what the Lord says. And that's why I expose them as much as I possibly can. But I don't want to give too much time to them, because the people get saved by the preaching of the Word of God. And so I kind of balance it off as best as I can, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Can you bring to light anything else on your website that might be of particular interest or particularly impactful.
In what regard? I mean, I've covered so many subjects. As far as the Vatican is concerned?
Well, as far as anything.
Rick and Pastor Lamo, hold it there. Rick, come back. We have another call or two, but Pastor, you can think about that for a moment and give Rick maybe an answer to his question back after this short message. Okay, we're back, and we're just in the middle of a question and an answer period between Rick in Texas and Pastor Tony Lamo. And I think Rick wanted to know, Pastor, any other articles regarding the Vatican corruption that you've authored on your website that he should read.
Right, the fugitive pope and there's one that I've written, the Queen of Whores, and there's several that I have exposed.
Well,
you know, the Pope Secrets.
Secrets is good. Yes, go there. And I might add, Rick, before we get to Gilbert in Texas, that you can go to my website, too, at arcticbeacon.com. And when I was in Rome working, I thought I was inspired by the devil when he was putting all these thoughts in my head about the evilness of the Vatican. So I went to confession and told the priest that. And he said, well, read about the history of the church. Read about the history of the Jesuit order if you have these thoughts, and that'll clear it up. Well, I took his advice. And I came to the other conclusion, though, after all these years. And you can go to the conclusion that they were the evil people. And you can go to my website and read Confession to the Jesuits. It's just one series of articles. I'm up to number 24 now. That'll help you understand a little bit more about what they're all about. So, Rick, thanks a lot. Let me get to Gilbert in Texas. So you've been holding a while, Gilbert. Thank you. You're on the Investigative Journal.
Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Good.
Pastor, I have... one's a question, and then the other one, I guess, I don't know, probably a statement or whatever. But this is more of a spiritual, personal question I have. How does one seek God's will for their life? Because I've tried, I think I have, and I don't know if you're supposed to experience anything or have a change in your life, and I've asked, you know, how does he view me? I thought that'd be good to know, and I yet to have an answer.
Okay, when you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, first you have to confess your sins, and all your former filthy things get washed away in the blood of Jesus. Then the Holy Spirit goes in, enters into you, and then after that you can get baptized with the Holy Spirit. And just read the Word, and the Word of God is Jesus, and the Word tells you what His will is. And then stay in the Spirit, and the Spirit will begin checking you in your spirit as if you're doing something wrong, or if the Lord doesn't want you to do something, you'll feel a tightening in your chest. And then if He wants you to do something, and you ask Him, you know, ask Him, do you want me to do this or that? And then I even ask Him when I go out of the house, am I supposed to go here or if I'm supposed to go there? And He says, I even point different directions, east, west, north, and south. And He'll tell me exactly where to go. Like when I went into Miami, He told me to go a certain way. I'd never been there before, and I went that area, and I wound up buying a lot of different property for the church. The government took it later because I exposed them for that IG Farben puts up Bayer aspirin and Alka-Seltzer, all kinds of different drugs that people take. And the Lord told me, don't take aspirins. That's very bad. And because He said, if the aspirin is stronger than me, then go to work for the aspirin company. I thought that was the funniest thing.
Rick, you have 30 seconds. Rick, go ahead. Gilbert, 30 seconds.
The other thing that came upon me was I was thinking about the Israelites in the Old Testament. They had an army, but yet they had God. But God could have easily have done their battles for them, but yet He sent them to fight evil. And I think that's what I'm starting.
Well, listen, Gilbert, we're all out of time. I want to thank you for calling. Call back anytime. We'll have Pastor Alamo on again. And Pastor Alamo, thank you so much for your insights and your story. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg, very much.
Okay, that was Pastor Tony Alamo. We're all out of time. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, good afternoon.